So this right here, is this not the epitome of fashion? This is my favorite vintage tie because, well, this is straight from my dad's closet in the early 1970s. I mean, is this not cool? Huh? Belly warmer? Whew, amazing. They don't make them like that anymore. My dad was a big tool and car guy. And in high school, during high school, I had a friend whose car was overheating one day. Dad did a quick assessment of things, and he said, "I'm pretty sure the thermostat is bad. Just change it out. Just change it out." That's what Dad said. It was a Chevy with hoses and thermostat right up top, supposedly easy access. Dad pointed, mumbled some stuff, a few words of supposed wisdom, something about clamps and gaskets and sealant, and in all honesty, most of it sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. Do you remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. And I stood there like this, nodding my head, acting like I knew what he was talking about. Now, you got to keep in mind, these were prehistoric times. There was not ChatGPT to ask how to change one of these, and there was not YouTube where you could do brain surgery, you know, that kind of thing. It was, we were up to our own wisdom on this. And so we tore into the car, and a couple hours later, and any of you have ever changed a thermostat know it shouldn't take a couple hours to change a thermostat. A couple hours later, we were done. Went in, announced it to Dad. He came out to inspect, and he looked at us and smiled and said, "Turn the car on." And for some reason, he was not impressed when coolant shot everywhere. And he looked down, and he discovered that we had leftover parts. Now, again, if you ever changed a thermostat, especially in a 1970s Chevy, you know you should not have leftover parts, ever, okay? And so we're like, "Dad, what in the world? What do we really need to do?" And he looked it over, and he steered us in new directions, and he stood there, and he gave some solid wisdom, and he coached us through with his wisdom how to do it, and sure enough, in 15 to 20 minutes, we were good as new. Wisdom. Here's our big takeaway today. Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. Yes, today we honor dads and we ponder how our Heavenly Father supplies wisdom for down-to-earth dads so that our lives and whole world can grow stronger. God calls, and I want us to be really clear about this right up front. God calls both men and women to lead in this world. Both. To lead well, lead wise, lead strong. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 tells us all of us, we are made in the image of God, male and female. Blessed, don't miss this, blessed to rule and reign. The language of kings and queens to lead strong in creative ways in our world. Both men and women in the image of God. Reflecting our Father's wise ways for working in this world. Both men and women are essential. And let's be clear. The wise influence of a man, of earthly fathers, is sacred and unique. The potential for guys to lead well, lead strong as Christ's good heart, hands and feet touches all arenas of life and culture. Our families, local schools, neighborhoods, local sports teams, workplaces every day, global mission endeavors, relief efforts for underserved people worldwide, and a host of other incredible roles. Opportunities to lead. Opportunities to lead and lead wise are enormous. Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. So, that sounds good, right? Sounds great. God's wisdom like that sounds really good. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? What gets cross-threaded and trips up leaders, even the most well-intended dads and influencers? What goes wrong for dads? I want to invite you to a set of wise words not typically heard on Father's Day. Join me, please, in Proverbs 31. Yes, I said Proverbs 31. The words right after these words often get shared on Mom's Day with great gusto. Proverbs 31, women are exalted as they should be. But it's the verses immediately preceding those words that are our focus this morning. Join me, please, right here, Proverbs 31. I want to invite you, fire it up if you got a Bible app, or grab a Bible from the seat back in front of you, or open your own classic copy if you brought one with you today. Join me, please, right there. I want you to see it for yourself. Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 man. Look at very wise words, starting in verse 1. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. Verse 2 says, listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Verse 6 says, let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Now, a bit of backdrop. No one knows for sure who King Lemuel was. These proverbs were collected wisdom, and the language in this clip denotes non-Hebrew sources, possibly Arabian. Lemuel's identity, his identity is a mystery, and that's actually pretty cool if you think about it, because it helps us all identify from any place and any century. The name Lemuel means, don't miss this, belonging to God. Lemuel means belonging to God. What a name. It conveys something so potent. So go ahead, right here at the start, put yourself right here in this young leader's place and be reminded that in Christ, through his work on the cross for you and his triumph over the grave and his call upon your life, your identity is one belonging to God. Your identity is one belonging to God. Next week, we start a brand new Sunday series called Belong. Belong. I want to urge you, don't miss it. You can start reading this week in Luke 3 through 5. And in fact, across the summer, we'll be camped there, crawling pieces at a time through Luke 3 through 5. And it's going to be a powerful series. Don't miss it. We'll be diving in just a little over a week now into Luke overall for the next 3 months. We'll be in the third quarter, and I shared with you at the beginning of the year, this was our year in the Gospels as a church. And so we've done Matthew, we're about to wrap up Mark, and you're going to want to dive into Luke's Gospel, and during the summertime, we'll be considering, paragraph at a time, those sections in Luke 3 through 5. And we're going to be blessed by this series, Belong, and what we see in Jesus and his own early followers, and how they belonged together in this circle of belonging. Back in Proverbs 31, notice these wise words are from his mother, probably a charge given at his coronation as king. The queen mother's charge is simple and profoundly pointed. surefire ways to understand Proverbs, all of the Proverbs, it can work like this. When you come to any set of the Proverbs, surefire way to understand it. First, beware foolish ways. Beware foolish ways. Second, walk the wise way. Beware foolish ways. Walk the wise way. And so whenever you come into the Proverbs, just thinking about that pattern can help you in understanding what you're reading. His mother calls him to listen up, listen close. Did you ever hear a mom say that? Ever? Moms, have you ever said it?
Hey, listen up. Listen up.
This mom says it right here. She says it repeatedly. Why? She wants Lemuel to take his responsibility and authority very seriously. Notice verse 3. Verse 3, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. His mother calls him to strong, pure, wholesome living. Obviously, she is concerned that he could slide into indulgence, sexual indulgence even. Like so many other kings, he might cave in to corruption through loose living, immorality, and abuse of his power. And then, we see it here, there's this sweeping statement in verse 3 that expands the pitfalls beyond just sexual immorality. The phrase carries this idea, the things that ruin kings. The things that destroy kings. And so this actually broadens our dismal options for foolishness. Lemuel's mother goes on to talk about abusing alcohol. There was a highly successful leader. One day years ago, a highly successful leader, we'll just call him Xander. One night at a party, Xander got drunk as a skunk. His team of trusted friends, next level leaders, they were all there. And the words were free flowing like the alcohol had been free flowing. And one of Xander's best leaders, Clytus, said some things that Xander found highly offensive, and in a drunken rage, Xander stabbed Clytus and killed him. The year was 328 BC. Stunningly, Clytus had actually saved Alexander's life 6 years prior during the Battle of Granicus. And the next day, when he was sober, Alexander the Great deeply regretted what took place and grieved the loss of his friend. Unfortunately, this set in motion a don't say anything to offend the great one. Don't mess with Xander kind of mentality on the team. Became this unspoken policy among his cabinet members, and the whole of Alexander's enterprise was weakened because his leaders would not speak up and share their insights or otherwise challenge the great. All because of abusing alcohol. Alcohol in our day, what's it do? What's it do? Numbs your senses, shuts down any sense of inhibition, makes you very funny, but treacherously foolish. We immediately think of celebrities or role models by virtue of their fame, so often they are so disappointing. Leaders of all kinds tend to dissipate their souls with drugs, alcohol, porn, extramarital liaisons, prostitution, violence, and looking the other way when there's financial corruption. But let's be real. let's be honest, this can be everyday people like you and me. If we're not aware, if we're not being aware and awake and paying close attention and vigilant about our souls, it can be any of us. People with so much potential for wise impact and so much room to give in to the things that destroy kings. Recall how Genesis 1, don't forget, Genesis 1 calls to all men and women blessed to rule and reign. There are things that cause fathers and grandfathers and yes, even mothers and grandmothers to go rogue, fumble and stumble into foolish living. What's conveyed here in Proverbs 31? Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. Right now, you're probably thinking about those things that could destroy you. Your marriage, your workplace influence, your impact with your kids, as well as your neighbors. Pause and think about your own things that destroy. Too many of us are tripped up by the very things that destroy kings. Laziness, sex outside God's beautiful boundaries of marriage, abuse of alcohol, indulgence in all kinds of quick dopamine hits, addictive behaviors, self-absorption, and missing God's heart for those in need. And right now you might be thinking, oh, of course. This is one of those just quit it sermons. Exactly what I'd expect at church on Father's Day. Hold on. You see, Father's wisdom actually challenges us with way more than simply just quit it. Ponder what can help every one of us increase our wisdom. Ponder what can help us increase our wisdom. First, determine you won't take advantage of all the pleasures you can afford. We live in a day when more than ever, so many of us can afford so many pleasures, and it's just simple to say, oh yeah, I can do that. Determine you won't take advantage of all the pleasures you could afford. Second, resist the intoxication of power and success. There's an intoxication that comes with power and success, and we let it go to our heads, and we see the media stream all kinds of things about leaders who let it go to their heads, and it's the stuff that destroys us, destroys our souls, destroys our families and our influence. Next, realize there are better things to do than just constantly numb your pain. There are better things to do than just say, okay, I need that next dope hit. I need that next dopamine hit. If I get that, then I'll feel better about my miserable life. There are much better things to do, better paths to choose that will truly help you. Hear Christ's Spirit calling you to self-control. Hear Christ's Spirit calling you to self-control. After all, it's one of the fruits of God's Spirit, good fruit growing in your life when you learn to exercise self-control. And plan in advance to steer clear of sexual sin and abusing alcohol. Make a plan. Work instead to bring justice to others. Work instead to bring justice to others. Become others-oriented. Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. Stay awake to your unique position and influence. It's what Lemuel's mom was saying to him on his coronation day. Stay awake! Stay awake to your potential as a king. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Stay awake to your influence. Derek Lehman so wisely says this, the call to justice is not just for kings, All of God's children should seek this same justice to which Lemuel was called. We ought to help the cause of those who are helpless, the widows, the orphans, the starving, the gravely ill, the unborn children, and the struggling single parents. And if you can't tell, Laman would just keep going with the list, because people all around us have needs. And then Derek says this: we may not be able to help many as a king would, but we can help the ones we know and whom God puts in our path. See, it's really not enough to just say, stop drinking. Stop hanging with immoral people. Not enough. It's essential we avoid the excesses of privilege and start to accept our sacred responsibility to live as the royal leaders God calls us to be. In every stage of life, to wake up to what God wants to do in us and through us. See, we are also children of royalty. We belong to King Jesus. We belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're all in with him. We're assigned responsibility. So here's where you determine. I won't live sloppy, self-indulgent, irresponsible. Instead, I'll live passionately committed to God and others. Here's where you get serious about Jesus' call to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's where you get more and more intentional, more and more vigilant every day. Intentional every day. Here's our precious opportunity to look up, look in, and look out toward others. It's then that we're able to mobilize and make a real difference. This starts with looking up. See, Christ himself is our ultimate example. Christ himself, it's all about Jesus. He is our ultimate example. Luke 2 verse 40 says, and the child, that is Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. Tag this with Colossians 2 verse 3, the Apostle Paul's words. Speaking of Christ, Paul says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when we say as a church, we want to be in the Gospels this year, why? Why in Mark this quarter and then dive into Luke next quarter, why? Because it's there we find the treasure. It's there we find more and more of Jesus, his heart, his life, his patterns, his example, his heartbeat for others. It's right there. In him. When it comes to wise fathering, none of us are fully capable, 100% equipped, all on our own. Not a one of us. We need wisdom, insight, power, and resources beyond ours, beyond our own resources. So we look up to King Jesus. We admit we need him. He is full of wisdom. Jesus himself developed in this wisdom and lived it out. And amazingly, he supernaturally supplies us with wisdom as we seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Look up and seek him. It's also essential we look in. We look in. Listen to Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20, Paul says, be very careful. And what he says right here starts to sound a whole lot like Proverbs. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Some translations say, because that will ruin your life. It's the things that destroy kings. Instead, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's vital to analyze, look in, what's filling you inside? We all regularly get a fill up. You go and you surrender half your bank account to fill up gasoline right now, right? Come on. Jeez. You fill up your soul every day too. You fill up your heart, your mind, your soul. It's vital right here that you look inward and say, what am I filling with? What am I filling with? What do you really drink in? Is it some substance? Is it the next dopamine hit? Is it self-indulgence? Is it alcohol, drugs, doom scrolling? Sex outside marriage, porn? Are you seeking fill-up and satisfaction through reckless, misguided pursuit of more money and more thrills? Instead, make intentional choices to be filled up with the Spirit of wisdom, Christ's Spirit, His powerful new life for you every day, every hour. Look inside to evaluate. Consider what fills you inside. Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Listen to what Paul says. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, if you haven't caught it yet, your spiritual music daily is so important. The lyrics, the tunes, the thoughts, the concepts, so important. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, here it is, all in, verse 17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Are you building a toward Heavenly Father thanks list today? What's on your thanks list today to the Heavenly Father? We will gain ongoing wisdom in our new series, Belong. It's going to help us in some big ways starting next week. In this summertime series, we're going to encounter Jesus, his disciples, the circle of togetherness in Luke 3 through 5, and their action-oriented way of life. You're going to have the chance to discover. We're all together going to have a fresh chance to discover our own calling. And greater Christ-like compassion and belonging, a greater sense of belonging both together and with Jesus. Bolder ways to influence others. So drink in new thoughts. Drink in new thoughts on who you are. Drink in prayer. Drink in spiritual music. Drink in deep gratitude. And drink in the opportunities to make a real difference. Mobilize. Mobilize to bring good news justice on behalf of others. We look up. We look in, and then like Jesus, we look out toward others. This piece is vital. This piece is crucial. Yes, cultivating a better inward life, a better fill-up in your soul is vital, but then this expression outward right away becomes tantamount to really growing in Jesus, really growing in likeness like him. Look out toward others beyond ourselves to the real needs of others, and they are all around us. We have tremendous opportunities every day, nearby, in our local community, in our region, and around the globe. So start to prayerfully ask. Potentially, the biggest and best takeaway for you out of Father's Day this year is to prayerfully ask, Lord, how do you want me to influence others this summer and into fall of 26? Lord, please show me how you want me to influence others this summer and into fall 26. See, there are people every day all around you who are indeed suffering. and in need of hands-on care and a listening ear and hope-filled help and words of encouragement, and we can get to know them and love them with the message of Jesus' good news. God designed us for influence. He designed you for influence. He designed every one of us for influence. To speak up and share, to speak for those who can't speak up for themselves. Our Father's wisdom makes our world marvelously stronger. Our middle son, Joel, has always kept us laughing. He was our surprise kiddo. And Nancy and I have laughed over the years saying God truly has a sense of humor because he delivered Joel into our lives. He's our middle one. And he's just always up to antics and kept us laughing. And 4 years ago this summer, he married Julia, his high school sweetheart. Joel is dad to our first grandson, so he gets bonus points as the kid in the family. Beckett, I might just have a recent picture. Thank you for the collective all. That was this week. We went for a dog walk one night. By the way, that look on his face is, I'm tolerating you, Grandpa. Joel's awesome, truly is. He also typically, he puts a lot of things off until like the last minute. Anybody else know anybody like that? So he was just like days away from moving out to get married. And it was during that week prior to their wedding, as he was sorting and packing his stuff, because we told him, get your stuff out of the house, please. He came across a journal that he had started at our group of churches camp, Kenbrook Camp, one summer. And on the lead-off page, you got to see what he wrote. Joel said, Dear God, I love my dad. I love him because he's kind. Now, that sounded great. I swelled up with pride. But then he went on and said, Even when he's stern or cross, I love him. Oh, boy. I asked him, were you trying to talk yourself into loving me? Was this like therapeutic journaling? I love dad. We're both able to chuckle about it now, but with my own boys, I have had plenty of times that I felt very foolish and asked myself, how can I do better? How can I do better? I still have moments as a dad of grown sons when I say it, how can I do better? Why? I long to be wise, and so do you. So it's right here, faced with our own foolish inadequacies, it's time to look up to King Jesus and his wise example. He never fails us. That's why we look up. We look in to take inventory inside. And ask that big, serious question. What fills you up daily, hour by hour, minute by minute of your life? What's filling you up? What are you drinking in? What am I drinking in? Why? Because the Lord will not fail you. So let's wisely focus on him. He's that good. He is that good. His wisdom right here is that good. And then look out. Look outward. Don't waste your whole life living so self-absorbed and miss the strong, good, wise life God has called you to live, a life of loving justice, of sharing the good news, loving action on behalf of others. See, when you live others-oriented, when you really live the good news like that, seeking to impact others with loving justice and gracious gospel truth and difference-making, the next generation is impacted in wise and life-shaping ways. Let's stand for prayer together in a closing song. The team's going to come back and lead us in a closing song. Go ahead. Will you stand with me? Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful. We're grateful for dads in our mix today and those who are afar from us or those who have been such a vital part of our past. We are so thankful. And we are so thankful that you call us, each of us, to wise living that reflects your goodness, your good love. Lord, thank you. Please stir within each of us greater capacity to drink in you, Lord Jesus, to drink in you, Lord Jesus, to look up, to look in, and look outward to bless others. You never fail. You are good through and through. Thank you. So right now today, we admit how much we need you. We need your help, Lord. We need your hope in our lives. And we find help and hope in you. Thank you. Please help us lead and love well for your glory and praise, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing out together.